Praise the Lord, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're in the 22nd chapter of the book of Acts. With this 30 verses, translation and commentary, and then also part 15 of spiritual warfare. Right now, we also have a couple of letters, one from Fort Smith, Arkansas, and the other one from Africa. Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask the Lord to anoint this service. Father, we thank you for your anointing power, the baptism of the Holy Spirit that gives us the power that you stated that we would have after we receive the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of churches that say, Lord, that God's power was only for a handful of disciples back in the days when you were just after you had ascended into the kingdom of heaven. But why would that be? What kind of an unmerciful God would you be if you only allotted power to just a handful of your followers? You stated that we'd be living in the most perilous of times now. This is the time that, of course, the worst time of all, when Satan was so strong that we would need your power. I mean, the people are so ignorant, so utterly stupid to believe such fallacy, especially when your word said that this will belong to all the people that really believe in you. Your word says that all those that believe the gospel and are doing what you say would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And people that are going to eventually fall away will not seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They're not going to receive it if they don't seek it. It's amazing how people believe, Father, that they must seek education in order to have a place in society. They make such a big to-do about going to universities, colleges, and so on, special training courses to train themselves for positions in this world. And many of them, before they even get to the position, are killed. They drink themselves to death or overdose on some drugs because they're not able to face the perilous times that we're now living in because they don't have your power upon them. When we have power, we're more than conquerors. We shall have power when the Holy Spirit lands upon us. Now, again, when we accept you as our personal Savior, the Spirit, your Spirit, your permanent Spirit of life enters into us, but you commanded us to sit with you, to ascend, to sit with you in heavenly places, and for us to reign with you, to rule, to have power and authority over everything in this world, because the earth belongs to you, the heavens and the earth, and we're to preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We've come here as your messengers and as your workmen to fight the good fight of faith, to take away the kingdom of Satan, and make it the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is at hand, all you out there in radio land, whether shortwave or the stations, or whether you're watching us on or listening to me on the internet. We have come to establish the kingdom of heaven, and Satan, you have to be removed this earth. You received the power, dominion, and authority here by lying, and this is how you continue. Your kingdom is by lying to people, telling them all manner of lies, making up false wars and all these different things that you do by killing little babies. You're a monster, Satan, picking on little unborn children. 400 million of them to date that they know about. And starving people to death on their deathbeds, and dehydrating them instead of feeding, and praying for people that they'll be healed. You just love to kill them when they're down. Satan, you're certainly the devil, and we've come here to take this kingdom over because it never belonged to you in the first place. And a bunch, your little, you took advantage of that weak little Eve, deceived her. And therefore, the rest of us had to suffer. Christ had to come and suffer and die, and now we have to, if we're going to be in his body, if we're going to enter the kingdom of heaven, we must do the same. And we must preach the gospel, and all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Naturally, we're in the kingdom of Satan here, bringing in the kingdom of God, and of course Satan doesn't like it, so he's fighting us. He's lying about us. He's telling every kind of false thing about us. And, you know, you people that fight us, you're fighting God, because he sent us here, and you're fighting the establishment of God's kingdom. This earth belongs to the Lord, and everything does, so just back off. Do it nicely, and then maybe you'll be able to be saved if you just receive the truth. And Father, we ask that you bring this forth in a mighty way in this message today, that you anoint and give me commentary all throughout, and let nothing be said on this tape, Lord, that doesn't come from the kingdom of heaven, directly from you. Anoint your word, open every heart, soul, mind, every spirit to receive the truth, because your word says that he that has a spiritual ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Let them become part of the church. Let them not receive any longer what the world, the spirit of Satan, says to them, but let them receive what the Spirit of God saith unto people's hearts. We're to hear with our hearts, our spirit. We're to believe in our hearts, our spirits, that Jesus Christ, the Word of God, is God. If we believe the whole Word of God, we can be saved, because the whole Word of God is Christ. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So believe, put on your believing ears now, your heart ears, the ears of your heart, so that you can receive the very word of God, which is spirit and life, that can make your soul happy, that can make yourself full of joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Lord, we ask that you do this today in the name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Where's the first letter from, or email?
From Fort Smith, Arkansas.
All right, go ahead.
Pastor Alamo, I received your world newsletter entitled Touch Me or Die from a lady in the waiting room at Cooper Clinic in Fort Smith, Arkansas.
Now, Touch Me or Die was actually the testimony of Jennifer Kolbeck. She was going to die, and the Lord, her husband called me and asked what we should do. It's a rare disease that she had, and the doctor told her husband and her that she wasn't going to live throughout the night. And so I asked the Lord, what in the world, Lord? I mean, this woman is in the body of Christ here. And he told me, she's not reading enough, she's not praying enough, she's not seeking me, she's just not into doing the things that I have commanded people to do. And so he said, if she touches me, if she prays tonight, if she gets a hold of me, if she touches me, she'll live. But if she doesn't touch me tonight in her prayers, she will die. So I named I told her that, and she did touch the throne of the Lord that night, and she did live. So the name of the literature is Touch Me or Die, is the message from the Lord. So some people might say, well, that doesn't sound like a good God. He told her the way that she could live. He told her that by prayer and by belief in God's word, you're saved. And so many people, you know, the government and the media has made people believe that they're just governments within themselves. No, you are not. You're just a little funny mud pie made out of dirt of the ground. You're probably 94% to 97% water, and the rest dirt. And you're not God, and you're not an island or a nation in yourself. You must obey God, and you must touch God, or you're going to die and spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire. Okay, now read the rest of this from this lady in Fort Smith, Arkansas.
I was very touched by the article by Jennifer Kolbeck. I was in tears as I read it. I, too, was sick in my body. After reading that article, I beat my way through the crowd to touch the hem of his garment. Praise God, I am healed in my body!
See, she touched also the Lord, and now she's healed. You know, Benny Hinn can't heal anybody. As a matter of fact, the man's an out-and-out Catholic. And ask him if he's a Catholic, and he will not deny it. And the same with Paul Crouch, Shannon Paul Crouch. Oh, there's a Crystal Cathedral, and 99 9/10% of all those people that are faking it on television, saying that they're Protestants and that they're born of the Spirit Christians, they're Catholics, and they're part of the Antichrist regime. That's why they say that God is this love, and He loves you unconditionally. Everything is conditional with the Lord. If you do, He says, if you keep my commandments, if you do everything I say, then I'm your friend. I'm your friend if you do whatsoever I tell you to do. That's conditional. Another thing the Bible says is fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. So that's conditional. Either do fear God and keep His commandments, or you're not going to heaven. He told Ezekiel, one of the most mighty prophets of all, he said, you go and tell the people of the world what I'm saying, and if you don't, all their sins are going to be on you, and you're going to hell. But if you go and tell them, and he says they won't believe, still, you're off the hook with it. You'll still be saved if you just go and tell them. I'm not commanded any more than Ezekiel was to make you believe, or because I don't believe a lot of you will receive the truth, because Satan has hardened your heart. You've caused you to harden your own heart, and God helps you along with it. He'll send you strong delusions to make you believe a lie, that your soul might be damned if you don't love the truth. And that's what the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So read it for yourself and see whether I'm telling you the truth or not. But, okay, so let's go on with this letter.
Thank you for continuing to publish your wonderful world newsletters. Where can I find the story of the young lady touching his garment in the Bible?
Okay, well, this is all of our baby Christians know that. Sharon, do you want to come forth and tell them, this lady, where in the Bible they can find this scripture that talks about the lady that bludgeoned her way through the crowd and touched the hem of Jesus' garment and thereby was healed?
Yes. Matthew chapter 9, verse 20 through 22.
Okay. And was there any other? How about raising the roof, where they tore the roof off? There was a place so crowded. Jesus was inside of a house, and he was preaching and teaching in there and healing. And there was such a crowd that they had four men bearing this man that had the palsy on a stretcher, and they couldn't get near the house because there were so many people there. And so what they did is crawled up on the roof and tore the roof off and lowered this man down in front of Jesus. And when Jesus saw that kind of faith, he told the man that he was healed. Amen?
Amen.
Now, where is that found?
That's Mark chapter 2.
And the man did get up, take up his bed, and take off. And there's places in the Bible where the Holy Spirit told Peter in the book of Acts that this man will has faith. And so he couldn't walk. He was born that way. And when he says the man was begging, asking for gold and silver coins, and Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I'm going to give to you right now. Get up. Stand up and walk. And that's the way real healing is when Peter perceived that the man had faith. Get up and walk in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the man got up, started walking. Then he started leaping for joy and praising the Lord, went into the temple and worshiped God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And thank God this woman here, see, the word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this woman heard the Word of God, and now she wants to read about it. You know, people shouldn't have to ask where these things are in the Bible. What you ought to do is get yourself a Bible concordance and just pick up the Bible yourself and read it for yourself. And this woman was so inspired from this healing of Jennifer Kolbeck and from the what she read that I had written along with what Jennifer Kolbeck's testimony was. And it was just from the Bible. And it inspired her so much, and she gained so much faith from that which was written from the Word of God, that she received the Word of God, which is spirit and life and healing. And the Bible also says, by my stripes you were healed. It isn't that God, will God heal you, or do you think he will? Well, why should you ask for something from God that he's already given you? By my stripes you were healed. Like, for instance, if I lay $1,000 in front of you and tell you, take that $1,000, it's yours. And then you keep saying, please give me $1,000. Please give me $1,000. It's right there. I already gave it to you. Amen?
Amen.
Or if I give you a plate of food, say it was a homeless person, and they would sit down at a hamburger stand or something, or I'd give you a steak or a bowl of oats or some eggs, and you just keep saying when the food's in front of you, please give me some food, I'm so hungry. What do you want me to do? Put your face down into it or force feed you with a plunger or something? Look, God's already healed you. Amen?
Amen?
He said so. And he's the truth. And he says, by my stripes you were healed. So just take what he's given you already. Don't say, oh God, please heal me, please heal. He's already healed you. Just receive it in your heart. Now, he says that he's the truth. Now, if you believe he's the truth, you agree that he's the truth, and you agree that he's already healed, then if you agree with him, then you have it. You're healed. And that's what happened to this lady in the hospital while she was waiting to be taken care of there. Was that all there was to her letter?
Yes, she just signs, thank you. J.P. from Fort Smith, Arkansas.
J.P. from Fort Smith, Arkansas. Well, J.P., you're healed now because you believed what the Lord said. And all you people out in Radio Land, you don't have to ask people to kill you because you're in pain, or you don't have to ask people to starve you to death or to dehydrate you or your loved ones. Just go into the sick room before the cops find out that you're sneaking in there with the gospel. It's like they're making it a sin for you to believe God that you can be healed. It's more proper, they think, to murder you, to starve you to death and dehydrate you, or to kill little children, unborn children that are very much alive because they're growing inside of their mother's womb. Anything that grows is alive. Anybody that doesn't know that is an arch idiot. Just believe the Word of God. There's healing. It's already provided for you. It's a done deal. It isn't anything that God has to do anymore. He said he paid for your healing by the stripes that he took just before they nailed him on the cross at Calvary. That was for your healing. Now, if you believe God is a liar, then you're a liar, and you're not going to get healed. But if you believe that he's the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, and you agree that he's already healed you, then take it by faith and be healed. And don't let anybody starve you to death, or don't you ever help anybody be starved to death or dehydrated to death, because if you do, you're going to be guilty before the judgment bar of God for murder. And it doesn't matter what all these worldly, secular, unsaved people say. Believe God's word. God's not a kidder. He's not kidding around. He tells you what sin is, and he tells you what the penalty of sin is. You pick up the Bible and you'll see the penalty of sin is you're going to hell, and then death and hell, which once you die, your body actually is going to be refabricated, and you and your spirit are going to be cast into the lake of fire, where you'll be chewing and on your tongue and for pain, and gnashing and screaming, and it just as unspeakable. The human language has not been given yet that can describe how beautiful heaven is, nor is the human language got enough words in it to tell exactly how horrible, how painful, and how much misery there is in hell in the lake of fire. And if you don't believe that, I guarantee you, you're going to know it one of these days. Because I don't care who you are or who you think you are, how much money you've got. One of these Walton kids who is in his 50s just died and left over $8 billion. Not one penny of that money went with him. And if he didn't know Christ, hopefully he did. But if he didn't know Christ, he's spending eternity in the lake of fire, hell and the lake of fire. And he's going to be, well, you know, a lot of people that have money, they've lived in such luxury. You can take a drive through Bel Air, Beverly Hills, Holmby Hills, Pacific Palisades, and some of the gorgeous places in the world. And those people are so used to comfort. And if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they're the ones that's going to be in the most misery in the kingdom, right in the pit of hell and the lake of fire, because they've never known anything but luxury, and now it's, they're in the workhouse, and there's like blow torches from every angle being on them, and molten lava, and horrible. I mean, it's just too, like I said, there's no words to describe how horrible it is. And they suffer, they're sick, and they just don't believe God, and they just think they're too sophisticated, you know, to believe something so simple. The Bible says that the simplicity of the gospel is the hardest thing for people to believe. It's not complicated enough. God didn't make it complicated because there's so many people that are deemed idiots in the world, and he makes it easy enough to understand to where even an idiot can receive the salvation. He made it so simple that you don't have to be a rocket scientist or, you know, highly intelligent to be able to receive the gospel. As a matter of fact, people that are considered highly intelligent in this world are extremely stupid when it comes to the Word of God, just like I was. I was considered extremely intelligent in the world because I was, they didn't ask me to do the promotion for the entire Democratic Party. I didn't know anything about it. They just thought I was so smart that I knew about politics, but I didn't. But I did know how to promote people and things and whatever. And but I didn't know anything about it. But I thought I was the smartest, the sharpest knife in the drawer. I definitely had both oars in the water. I was able to just about do anything that I knew what to do. I didn't know how to fly a plane or anything like that, but I really knew how to promote things and sell. And I found out that I was one of the most stupid people in the world when I had that supernatural experience from the Lord in the office in Beverly Hills when I was promoting a singer. I was in there with a whole group of my peers and with attorneys and everything, and God literally spoke to me. And it wasn't in a faint whisper. He just spoke throughout my whole body. He shut off my hearing ears. But, and everybody knows that story. You can order it free of charge, called Dry Bones. And another one that I've written, which actually Sue wrote for me, was Signs of the Time. And I've given my testimony many, many times throughout the almost 41 years that I've been saved now. And you'll see that I thought I was so intelligent. And here I realized that the people that were distributing literature on the streets and in New York, where I was, and Los Angeles, people that I despise to even look at, because I figure they never know the wonderful things. They never will have money and to taste the good foods and the delicacies and to go to fine places. But I found out that they were the smarties, and I was as stupid as a goose, because this world, our lives here, are only for a moment. Just look at this, I don't know his name. What was his name, the Walton boy? Anybody know it? See, nobody here even knows his name. That's how unimportant. Because of the fact they didn't ballyhoo it that much on television, he might have been that he's saved. And if he is, well, praise the Lord, he's in the kingdom of heaven. But for sure, one thing for sure, he couldn't take not even one threepence, one penny, one shred of anything that he owned from this world into the next. And if he's not saved, it's for sure he's in hell right now. And he's going to hell. And I don't care how much money you've got or what kind of a position you've got, you're a nothing in the eyes of the Lord. And you're the stupidest person on earth, just like I was, if you don't receive Christ. And I would suggest strongly that you pick up a Bible to check out if what I'm saying is the truth. Or, you know, what anybody is saying is the truth. You'll find out that most of these ministers have transformed themselves into angels of light, because even Satan transformed himself into an angel of light. So it's very hard for a lot of people that don't know the Bible to discern who's right and who's wrong, which religion is right and which religion is wrong. Let me condense it for you. All religions are of the devil, but salvation is of the Lord. Religion is of the devil, salvation is of the Lord. Religion can't save your soul, but Christ is the only one. So salvation is of the Lord, and religion is of the devil. I don't know one person that religion ever saved, and the Bible never says that religion will save you. It says so. Christ is the Savior of the world. Not Mary, not Mary Margaret, and nobody but the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And there's only one mediator. It's so simple that the, you know, highly intelligent people just stumble over it. They think they've got to go to universities, and you have to be a brilliant person to get into heaven. Let me explain something to you that a common scrub woman from Georgia or Alabama will get into the kingdom of heaven if she understands the scriptures and accepts Christ far more than some brilliant, supposed to be genius or some megalomaniac or any politician that doesn't receive Christ. How hard it is for a rich man or a man of power to enter in, with secular power, to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a rope to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, because they just think that they're smart because they're rich. And that just ain't true. Okay, you've got to humble yourself and believe the gospel and become like the Nazarene, the world's greatest Jew. All right, now what else have you got here?
Letter from Africa.
All right.
Hello, Pastor Tony Lomo. It is with joy and the greatest happiness that I am contacting you this second time. This is essentially a letter of thanks and congratulations. All the while, I believe these are not adequate words to express the gratitude that I have towards you. How could I thank you for your faith that you are communicating through your writings, and for the powerful fear of the Lord Jesus that you are teaching? I believe that the Holy Spirit himself, in his wisdom, will know how to communicate my gratitude. Pastor, I also want to sincerely thank you for the literature you have sent me. I have received it and do appreciate it. All day long, I take hold of these pamphlets which are giving me so much truth about the Christian life, to such a point that I am becoming more and more positive in my environment. Consequently, as previewed in the first letter that I had sent you, I have distributed them as little loaves of bread to my friends who have been newly won to Christ. They do not cease to question me about the contents of these pamphlets that they have received so much it is true. Pastor, I believe that these lives have been won forever to Christ, thanks to your instructions in this literature. Yet they are always looking for more of them, and I do not know how to satisfy them because I do not have any more. We are organizing a large evangelizing program, followed by a prayer meeting and restoration of souls. It is going to take place at our institute. We cannot satisfy the spiritual hunger of these souls with our meager means that we have. However, I believe that the sampling of pamphlets that you have sent me has largely changed their lives.
Oh, we'll send you. You know, people like this, I'm talking to the mailroom now, get everything that I've ever written to them and get every one of these tapes to them because they're hungry. And, when people are hungry and thirsting for the Word of God, we're supposed to fill them. That's what we've been called to do. Now, get that to them at spare no expense. Get it to them right away, please. Thank you. Go ahead now.
We are requesting your help, considering that our goal is the evangelizing program, is to bring the young students of the Ivory Coast, who are tomorrow's leaders, back again for them to belong to Christ our Savior.
Right, and then also just heap, give them as many Bibles as they want, because the things that I preach and teach, I'm so frustrated because there's so much in the Word of God that I want to teach. But, I mean, it just seems that there isn't enough time on these tapes to teach it. And I just, being legally blind, it's very hard for me to write more than I do. Time doesn't allow. And time goes by so fast. Already it's the month of July 2005. And it just the months are going by so fast. So quickly. We've got to... read the Bible, everybody. Just get into it, because don't just rely on my tapes, because there's so much more in the Word of God that I need to, that you need to know, and I can't teach it fast enough. I know what it says, and I eventually will get to it, I pray, but read yourself as well, and pray while you're reading. Then what?
Therefore, Pastor, we are praying that in kindness you would send us various pamphlets on salvation in French, newsletter copies of your book entitled The Messiah, and some French Bibles for the souls who will be won to Christ, for them to have after the witnessing program. In hopes of a favorable reply, I thank you, and I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will bless your family and your ministry abundantly. May he continue to devote you to your mission as long as possible. EBS from the Ivory Coast.
Well, praise the Lord, yes. And get it to them. And I don't know if all of my literature has been translated, transposed into French or translated into the French language. I know a lot of it has been, but get it all. I'm talking to Maurice now and his wife. Make sure that everything is done in French. I had a large congregation of people, of souls, that went to the Lord while I was in France. I lived there for a while in Nice, a little while in Paris, and quite a while in Nice, France. I lived in London. I had a flat there for a year. I lived in Israel, in Jerusalem, and Tiberias. And which was only about 2 or 3 miles from Capernaum. And I had won souls everywhere. I cleaned up the whole prostitution area in Nice and in Toulouse, France, and cleared the whole street. The whole street was just full of prostitutes, and there was only one left. And that woman was so possessed with the devil. And she had her pimps fighting me like crazy to try to stop me from preaching the gospel. But she got preached to. Not everyone believes the gospel. Not everyone believed Christ. Otherwise, they wouldn't have nailed him, the Lord of glory, to the cross. Amen?
Amen.
But not everyone has faith, or they've been given faith, but they don't use it, they don't pay any attention to it, they allow Satan to tell them that this is nothing, and therefore it's to their own damnation. All right, that's it?
Yes.
Okay, let's go into chapter 22 of Acts with its 30 verses. And because of the fact that the Lord has... well, let's just see what the Lord does here about using the translation rather than the King James Version, or we'll use both of them, we'll see. Okay, come on, let's go.
Verse 1. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. Verse 2. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he saith. Verse 3. I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are at this day.
He said he was trained by Gamaliel. He was a highly esteemed Bible teacher of the Pharisees. So let's go into the translation now. Pretty much, it says the same thing.
Verse 1. Brothers and esteemed fathers, Paul said, listen to me as I offer my defense. Verse 2. When they heard him speaking in their own language, the silence was even greater. Verse 3. Quote, I am a Jew born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, and I was brought up and educated here in Jerusalem under Gamaliel.
He was speaking in Aramaic. Then what?
At his feet.
Aramaic is the main language in the Middle East, and Hebrew is just a division of Aramaic. Just like the English language is supposedly more refined in the United Kingdom. And over here, it's quite a bit of slang, and in Canada, it's a little bit different, but it's all part of the English language. Go ahead.
I am a Jew born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, and I was brought up and educated here in Jerusalem under Gamaliel. At his feet, I learned to follow our Jewish laws and customs very carefully. I became very zealous to honor God in everything I did, just as all of you are today. Verse 4. When I persecuted the followers of the way, hounding some to death, binding and delivering both men and women to prison. Verse 5. The high priest and the whole council of leaders can testify that this is so, for I received letters from them to our Jewish brothers in Damascus, authorizing me to bring the Christians from there to Jerusalem in chains to be punished. Verse 6. As I was on the road, nearing Damascus, about noon, a very bright light from heaven suddenly shone around me. Verse 7. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, quote, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Unquote. Verse 8. Who are you, Lord? I asked. And he replied, quote, I am Jesus of Nazareth, the one you are persecuting. Unquote. Verse 9. The people with me saw the light but didn't hear the voice. Verse 10. I said, quote, What shall I do, Lord? Unquote. And the Lord told me, quote, Get up and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that you are to do, end quote. Verse 11. But I was blinded by the intense light and had to be led into Damascus by my companions. Verse 12. A man named Ananias lived there. He was a godly man in his devotion to the law, and he was well thought of by all the Jews in Damascus. Verse 13. He came to me and stood beside me and said, quote, Brother Saul, receive your sight, unquote. And that very hour I could see him, exclamation point. Verse 14. Then he told me, quote, The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and hear him speak. Verse 15. You are to take his message everywhere, telling the whole world what you have seen and heard. Verse 16. And now, why delay? Get up and be baptized and have your sins washed away, calling on the name of the Lord. End quote. Verse 17. One day after I returned to Jerusalem, I was praying in the temple, and I fell into a trance. Verse 18. I saw a vision of Jesus saying to me, quote, Hurry! Exclamation point. Leave Jerusalem, for the people here won't believe you when you give them your testimony about me. End quote. Verse 19, quote, but Lord, end quote, I argued, quote, they certainly know that I imprisoned and beat those in every synagogue who believe in you. Verse 20, and when your witness Stephen was killed, I was standing there agreeing. I kept the coats they laid aside as they stoned him, end quote. Verse 21, but the Lord said to me, quote, leave Jerusalem, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles, exclamation point, end quote. Verse 22, the crowd listened until Paul came to that word. Then with one voice they shouted, quote, away with such a fellow, exclamation point, kill him, exclamation point, he isn't fit to live, exclamation point, end quote.
Because he was telling them of their doubt. He was telling them that the Lord said that they were unbelievers, and so that angered them, and they wanted to kill him. Then, just like today, when you tell the world that the Bible says you're all deceived, that you people are church hoppers, and you're deceived, you don't believe the gospel as it is, and therefore you're part of the great falling away. If you're believing anything that is other than the gospel that has been preached to you by the Apostle Paul and the other apostles, or Jesus, of course Jesus, and the prophets, then you're a cult. Now there's a they've turned it around today, the cult, the world cult, saying that we're the cult because we they call us fanatics. But they're fanatically demonic. And if we are fanatics, well, then we're fanatically for the Lord and the true word of God. And I can guarantee you I'd rather be a fanatic for the Lord than for the way you are. Amen?
Amen.
Because by doubt you're damned. And no matter how fanatically we are for the truth, we believe the truth and therefore we're saved. And it's just sad that you're not fanatically for the Lord, you're for the actual secular Antichrist government that is murdering hundreds of millions of souls all over the world and leading them to hell in the lake of fire. So, you know, you're evil if that's the way you think. But we, according to the Lord, are nice and we're going to heaven. And so, therefore, you know, if I were juvenile, I'd say, ha, ha, ha. But it's sad. It's very sad that you're going to hell if you don't believe the gospel. All right? Now, be a good boy and a little good girl and receive the gospel so that your soul can be saved. I'm not hurting you, but I'm not your enemy because I tell you the truth. This is what Paul told the people in the day that he was alive. All right, then continue on.
Verse 23, they yelled, threw off their coats, and tossed handfuls of dust into the air. Paul reveals
Maniacs. Okay, then what?
Paul reveals his Roman citizenship.
See, this is the same kind of maniacs that went over to Waco and killed those little men, women, and children over there. For what? For what did they kill them for? Because they believed in Jesus. And, oh, they say, well, because they were made up a bunch of stories that they were abusing the children. Well, they're the ones that abused them more. They burnt them up. And you could see, I have a tape where it shows the flamethrowers from the tanks blowing the fire into the building and igniting the gas bombs that they put in there. And they burnt the place to a crisp. Christians would never commit suicide. Never. There isn't a Christian, a true Christian, that knows the Bible that would ever, ever commit suicide. So anytime you see somebody that says these people committed suicide, like Jim Jones, that they committed suicide with a Kool-Aid, so some kind of poison that they laced into it, if you know the Bible, you know those people were not Christians. But they were in an area where there was some woods, and they ran. Some of them got away. They ran away into the woods, and they went from one church to the other. They came to our church and told us that those people, the media is lying to everybody. They're saying that they took poison Kool-Aid and drank it. But they said they were not. There were government agents there and military people that were killing those people. Every one of them had bullet holes in them. And they tried to make, what they wanted to do is make everybody believe that Christianity was dangerous and that they were a cult. But how could you believe that when the ones that are dangerous and the ones that are a cult are the Vaticanites that ordered the troops to go there and kill the people at Waco, the government? We have Mr. Peelers, who is an undercover FBI man, testify that they tried to get him to go there, and they were laughing and saying it's a turkey shoot, that they're going to go and shoot those turkeys over there, those Bible-believing Christians. And they also called that a turkey shoot over at Guyana when they with this Jim Jones. They did everything to try to make him look like a cult. They tried the same thing with me. They said that I was a mind controller, a brainwasher, and everything. Well, I would hope that if we could wash your brains with the Word of God, it's for sure that you filthy-minded people of the world, those of you that are not saved out there, need your brains washed by the gospel, and you need your soul washed with the blood of Jesus. So if I'm a brainwasher or a mind controller, I'm proud of it, because there's a lot of you people out there that are dirty in people's souls and their brains by the things that you're doing, and you're murderers. So these people came from the woods over there, and they escaped and said that these army or whatever they were, government agents, were in there shooting every single one of them. It was a slaughter. And they wanted to get everybody in the world. Then they put it on the news to make everybody believe that Christianity, true Christianity, is dangerous. And the popes have used blasphemy by saying it's dangerous to read the Word of God. But you want to know something? God said it's dangerous not to read the Word of God. Because the Word of God, when you know it, gives you perfect peace and a sound mind. And it is, we're saved by learning and read every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Man is not saved by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Believe the Word of God. Preach the Word. Know the Word of God. Because when you know the Word of God, you know God. How could knowing God be dangerous? Anyone that would tell you to not know the Word of God, or to know the Word of God is dangerous, could only be the devil. And that's what the Bible says, that this one world government, cult, church, United Council of Churches, and media is the devil. It's powered by that great red dragon, the devil, the Satan. And so that's what you're listening to, and that's why you're all deceived out there. And it's so easy for them to deceive you because they have the media. And, boy, there's some radio stations now that are preaching the truth. They're saying how that all the people that they're killing, the murdering, this government, this one world government and cult and the media, they're murdering millions of people all over the world, and they're not letting you know. And they're doing it because Satan's cult. This is his final attempt to take over the entire world. He wants to do it because he realizes that we who are of the Lord are in here preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we're taking it over. Now it's too, the Bible tells us that the kingdom of this world, which is the devil, shall become the kingdom of God. And that's what's happening right now. That is what's happening right now. And that's why there's such an upheaval of this satanic cult name-calling us and bringing all kinds of false accusations and setting up situations by killing a bunch of people, saying that they took Kool-Aid and that it's dangerous to become a Christian, it's dangerous to go to the church, to the true church of God. It's wonderful to belong to the Vatican, which is the Antichrist, and they exalt the Pope. Well, and the government exalts the Pope. And, the U.S. Constitution says that you're not supposed to exalt any religion, that the government is not to exalt any religion or to choose a religion or have a religion, that the government is supposed to be fair to all of them. And we win. It doesn't say that Buddhists are right or Muslims or anyone like that, because they're not. But it says we are not to kill them like they believe, but we're to preach the gospel to them and do our best to convert them to life, permanent life, because there's only one that has permanent life, and that's God. And that life is given us by belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, the entire Word of God. Jesus is the entire Word of God. All right, so let's finish off here.
Paul reveals his Roman citizenship. Verse 24. The commander brought Paul inside and ordered him lashed with whips to make him confess his crime. He wanted to find out why the crowd had become so furious. Verse 25. As they tied Paul down to lash him, Paul said to the officer standing there, quote, "Is it legal for you to whip a Roman citizen who hasn't even been tried?" End quote. Verse 26. The officer went to the commander and asked, quote, "What are you doing? This man is a Roman citizen!" Exclamation point. End quote. Verse 27.
So I see he's really wise. He's a Christian, a big time Christian, and he's a Jew, not a Roman. But he was a Roman citizen, and so he used some strategy here to say that he was a Roman, knowing that these people that are persecuting him are Romans, and that if they knew he was a Roman citizen, they wouldn't lash him anymore. So Paul is very wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. He wasn't lying, but he certainly wasn't saying he's a Jew, a converted Jew, a Jewish Christian anymore, because those people didn't know anything about that at all. He said, I'm a Roman citizen, so why are you beating me? And so now they're getting scared. They're very much afraid that they know better than to do that. Then what?
Verse 27. So the commander went over and asked Paul, quote, "Tell me, are you a Roman citizen?" End quote. Quote, "Yes, I certainly am," end quote, Paul replied.
That's very good. Then what?
Verse 28.
Here's a smart Jew. All right, then what? From the tribe of Benjamin. Then what else?
Verse 28. Quote, "I am too," end quote, the commander muttered. Quote, "And it costs me plenty," exclamation point, end quote. Quote, "But I am a citizen by birth," exclamation point, end quote. Verse 29. The soldiers who were about to interrogate Paul quickly withdrew when they heard he was a Roman citizen, and the commander was frightened because he had ordered him bound and whipped. Paul before the council, verse 30. The next day the commander freed Paul from his chains and ordered the leading priests into session with the Jewish high council. He had Paul brought in before them to try to find out what the trouble was all about.
So they stopped beating him, see? But most people just, they won't use any kind of logic whatsoever, or common sense. And the Lord says that my people perish because of a lack of knowledge, you know. All right, so now we've got the commentary now. The commentary. All right, let's go.
Chapter 22, verses 1 through 22. In this second account of Paul's conversion, see chapter 9, verses 1 through 18, you'll learn one additional detail. Paul studied under the great rabbinic teacher and scholar Gamaliel. Paul again reminds us of his rage against Jesus, the believers, prior to his conversion. But despite Paul's former self-sufficiency, his misguided zeal for the law, which is still intact, the moral law, however he was worried about the wrong thing, he quickly admitted that he was wrong. He admitted his helplessness more than ever when Christ appeared to him in a blinding light. He was powerless, and it was his powerless state that was so complete that others had to lead him by the hand due to his temporary blindness. Fortunately, a lot of people don't need such a dramatic event to force them to face their powerlessness. But we must all realize that without God, without Christ, there's no possible way that we could overcome our compulsions or our addictions. When we're able to understand this truth, what we have done then is started down the road to the fullness of the stature of Christ, obedience to God, and a happy life.
Right, remember, the fullness of the stature of Christ is when we all come to one body. We come together in one body because there's only one body of Christ. If you're not, a lot of people say, well, we can serve God and not be in the church, the true church of God. No, you can't. You'll never reach the fullness of the stature of Christ. You'll never become one. If you're not in the body of Christ, the church, then you're not saved. You must be in Christ's body to make the body the fullness of the stature of Christ. No one person outside of the body can realize the fullness of the stature of Christ, because this fullness of the stature of Christ can only be realized in the body. It's in the body that makes up the New Jerusalem. Being in the body makes you a member of the bride of Christ, the church, the true church of God. So don't ever say that, oh, we can serve God outside the church. That's a that is a false statement according to the Word of God. The Lord says we must learn the height, the depth, the width, and the breadth. We must be part of all that, the height, the depth, the width, and the breadth of the one body of Christ. We must be involved in the 1,500-foot walls and the four-square city, which is 1,500 miles long and 1,500 miles wide. Outside the city are devils, wolves, those that are not of the Lord but are of Satan. So when you say, or anyone says, that we can serve God outside the body, that's absolutely according to the Word of God, which is infallible. That's impossible. All right, now, part 15 of spiritual warfare. And that is part of spiritual warfare, is to be in the body, in the church, in the New Jerusalem, in the bride. You have to be one. One, you're just one of the many members of the bride of Christ, and so you've got to know, you've got to be in the body, the church, the bride, the New Jerusalem, in order to be part of the fullness of the stature of Christ. Okay, then what?
Since many of the people who are Christians have not yet reached the realm of ascension, which they should have done the minute they were saved, in their experience, why then is it possible that you can lead people to be saved and love the Lord? This is because of the fact that, after all, there is still a part in us that is heavenly or bears the heavenly condition. Therefore, through that portion, we are able to help others and edify them. Although we are defiled...
Well, edifying the church and preaching the gospel is part of spiritual warfare. Praying is part of spiritual warfare. Going to church, being part of the body of Christ, is part of spiritual warfare. And we don't fight with the carnal weapons, but it's all spiritual. And that is how we actually defeat the devil, is to not believe that we can serve the Lord outside the church, or that we don't have to pray, that God knows all about everything, that we don't have to seek the Lord, we don't have to read. That's, reading is part of spiritual warfare. Edifying the church is part of spiritual warfare. Keep going.
Although we are defiled with sin, love of the world, and we mind the flesh, yet part of our condition is still heavenly. Thus you are able to chase away part of the power of darkness in men and women and cause some of them to turn to the Lord and love him. Therefore, the principle remains the same. Only those who live in the realm of the heavens can deal with the power of darkness in the air and chase the devil out.
Right, so you cannot be part of sin. You must have experienced death, resurrection, ascension, and then you have to be reigning and ruling, taking power and dominion and authority over everything here on earth. And you can't do that if you're still sinning, because you yourself have been defeated by Satan to the point to where you're sinning, and you have no authority if you're a sinner. There's no authority. And when you've got your mind on sin, if the Lord takes your life while during the day or night, when you go there, you're not going to be changed from a person that thinks sinfulness into a godly person. Remember, there's nothing that can penetrate the walls of that city. They're 1,500 miles high. You can't penetrate into there with sin on your soul. You cannot enter heaven. It's just, it's a walled city, 1,500 miles high, to where no one. It's so high you can't get over it. So low you can't get under it. So wide you can't get around it. You got to come in by the door. And Christ, the Word of God, is the door. You've got to have a sin-free life. And you have to be sitting with Christ in heavenly places, in authority over yourself, your house, the church, you know, and the world. The Lord has called us to rule over this, ourselves and the world, with His Word. Spiritual warfare. No carnal weapons whatsoever. Somebody called our church the other day from the city council and stated that they heard some gunshots. I realize it's the 2nd of July, you know, and people are popping firecrackers all over the place. We don't even allow our people to have toy guns. And so there's a bunch of, we're in an area where there's a lot of what they call redneck kids, and they're all blowing firecrackers all over the place, and they said they heard gunshots over near our church. And so I had to get on the phone and explain to the city council that we don't have fireworks. But remember, it is the 4th of July holiday now, and people, kids are blowing firecrackers. And they started laughing on the phone, saying, oh yeah, we never thought of that. I had one of our the men in our church call him and tell him. But I talked to him on the phone before. And Buster, he's going to the city council to explain again, after we've explained over and over again in my literature that we don't believe in carnal warfare. We don't have guns. We don't have knives. We don't have bullets, bombs, tanks, planes. We don't believe in all that. We don't believe in murder. We don't believe in drinking poison, Kool-Aid. We don't believe in suicide. We believe if anyone commits suicide or murders anybody, they're going to hell in the lake of fire. And if they want to call doing the exact opposite of what God says as mercy, well, then you definitely have received what the devil says, and you're going to hell in the lake of fire unless you repent. So repent. Okay, then continue on.
The deliverance which we give to others is based solely on that part which is of the heavenly nature in us. The extent to which we chase out the power of darkness is directly dependent on our heavenly condition.
Right. We have to be sitting in the strategic ascension, ascended place, sitting with Christ in heavenly places before we have the power to chase out demonic things. Because if you remember, if like you see a beautiful woman, or you women see a beautiful looking man, or handsome man, and you're sitting strategically in the kingdom of heaven, and you visualize that, and remember, if you lose the vision of that, you're going to perish, you're going to hell. If you remember that, that your mind is up here with Christ, that is so easy to turn away instantly from. But if you're still here on earth, and you're looking at things like that, and you're lusting and looking for carnal things, you're destroyed. You cannot pull up and out of it. You can't fight spiritual warfare. You're not equipped to. You're not sitting high above everything with Christ. And so therefore, you're just partakers of the things of the world. And then you're lost. Then go ahead.
If we have more element of the heavens, we are able to encourage more people in spiritual warfare. If we have only a little element of the heavens, by no means do we have much element of spiritual warfare. The two are in direct proportion to one another. When a man has utterly reached the heavenly realm, his entire being, living, works, and actions are spiritual warfare. He is able to chase out the power of darkness from every place, no matter where he comes, and from all the people who he meets. Therefore, when we, in our experience, have reached the position of ascension and are able to reign, that will be the time that we are able to fight for the kingdom of God, recover the lost souls here on the earth for God, and bring in the kingdom of God, establish it here on the face of this earth in Jesus' name.
Yes, and at that particular time also, we know that we're in the body of Christ, that we are no longer thinking that we can be outside of Christ or outside the church, that we've reached the ultimate point in Christ. We've become one with Christ. We've reached the fullness of the stature of Christ. We become part of the body. All right, so till tomorrow, chapter 23 of the book of Acts, and part 16 of Spiritual Warfare. This is Pastor Tony Alamo saying, stay ascended in ascension with the Lord and fight spiritual warfare. Reign. Don't let the devil take over church services or take you over or take your mind, your thinking away from the Lord. But fight that spiritual warfare. Read the Word. Preach the Word. Teach the Word if you're not a novice. And tune in tomorrow. Again, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. And God bless you and praise the Lord.